You are listening to the GeoNiagara Radio Show, sponsored by the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University.
What is where, why there, and why care? It's an essay from Charles F. Gritzner, and it begins with define history. Now, define geography. No matter how you define history, certainly included references to such essential elements as when, time, or perhaps even temporal methodology. Although many of us may have difficulty in clearly articulating a scholarly definition of history, few of us would offer a definition that was far off the mark. But what about geography? Does the public understand the nature and scope of our discipline? Is geography universally supported in the curriculum, or must we continually explain and attempt to defend what we do and why it is important? Welcome to Season 1, Episode 1 of the GeoNiagara Radio Show. My name is Darren Platicus, and my co-host is...
My name is RJ. It's our first show.
It's kind of daunting. But the best part about it is that we hope to educate the community on what it is geographers do and how that relates to different things within Niagara, whether it's environmental issues or transportation or housing, that sort of thing. All of these things relate to geography in some fashion or another.
And we hope to relate them all back to location, where we live, Niagara region, and get all sorts of guest speakers from the area and get their thoughts and opinions on what geography is and what it means to them.
We're also hoping that we can include some segments about how we're going to engage the community about geography. So we're hoping to start a segment called Ask a Geographer. So if you have any questions, I encourage you to tweet them to us. Our Twitter handle is @GeoNiagara. @GeoNiagara. And of course, all this information will be available on the CFBU website where our show will be residing for download. So RJ, how about you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I am a fourth year at Brock University studying geography. I study both human and physical geography, and I have been a member of the Brock University Geographical Society for a couple of years now. I'm currently the president, and I'm very excited to be starting this amazing radio show journey with you, Darren.
And it's great to have you. My name's Darren. A little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Brock in 2010 in the geography department. I did a postgrad certificate at Niagara College in the GIS program, and my passion is geography. I basically have what I call ADHGID, Attention Deficit Hypergeographic Information Disorder. That's a term I coined myself, and basically what it amounts to is if you're familiar with the movie Up, and you're familiar with Doug the Dog, and him saying squirrel, then that is me with geography. I'm interested in all things geography, from the smallest grain of sand to the largest scale maps, or smallest scale maps, actually. Everything interests me. So I really want to bring that passion into the radio show and also bring that passion to listeners of CFBU and hopefully answer some of their questions. And if there are teachers that have downloaded these episodes to use in their classroom, feel free to send us your questions. And we encourage you to use these episodes in your classroom to generate discussion about how cool geography is.
Now that we've told you a little bit about ourselves, our first guest speaker on the GeoNiagara Radio Show is Chris Fullerton. Take it away, Darren.
Joining us in the studio today is Associate Professor and Chair of the Geography and Tourism Studies, Chris Fullerton. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
I'm happy to be here and looking forward to talking about all things geographical.
The whole precept of the GeoNiagara Show is to inform the public about the importance of geography. And we thought what more fitting guest to have on the first episode than the chair of the department. We were wondering if you could give us some background to the history of the geography department at Brock University.
Sure. Actually, it's interesting. Brock, when it was first founded in 1964, geography was one of the first departments that was created as part of the new university. So our history, therefore, dates back some 52 years now. And that was largely for most of that time as the Department of Geography. It was only in July of 2016 that we ended up merging with the Department of Tourism Management to create what we now call the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies. The department itself currently has 18 faculty members, very broad array of specializations and research interests. We have several human geographers, several physical geographers, and of course, several people who study tourism exclusively.
With the merger of the department, what do you see as the strengths of that merger?
One of the problems
that the Department of Tourism Management had that led to the request to merge with Geography was the fact that they were a very small group of people. They only had 5 faculty members remaining after a few people had left the department over the years. And so it was quite difficult for them to sort of maintain their full breadth of program offerings as a 5-person department, especially if you had people wanting to go on sabbatical or taking any other sort of leave from their regular teaching duties. So the first big benefit is certainly for those students in the tourism programs at Brock. They will benefit greatly from having enhanced course offerings that have been created as part of the newly merged department. We've consolidated a number of courses that the geography students and the tourism students were required to take as part of their programs, where now these are cross-listed courses that all students, regardless of whether they're human geographers, physical geographers, or tourism students, take, such as our research methods courses, our statistics course, and so on. So there are benefits there that the geography students will have access to more courses that are offered primarily by the tourism faculty, and at the same time, tourism students will have access as part of their programs to a number of geography courses. The other thing I think that's pretty big and great about the merger is that sort of larger number of students and larger number of faculty might also help us to increase our presence in the community and even on campus, where we have a number of us who were in the former geography department who are interested, for example, in tourism as a research subject, along with those who were already in the tourism management program. So now we're building this sort of critical mass of people to really become very well recognized as a department that's engaged in tourism research, which of course is so vital to the economy of a place like Niagara.
So with the merger of the two departments, is there any planned joint research being undertaken between the two, or is it just more like a one department thing now?
Started to actually do a little bit in the way of joint research. For example, I myself, along with my colleague Dr. Jeffrey Boggs, and also with a fellow by the name of Dr. Patrick Bruder, who's working with me as a Banting postdoctoral fellow in the department at Brock, we've taken the initiative about a year ago to try and create something that we call the Niagara Tourism Researchers Network. And we've tried to band together people at Brock and also at Niagara College who have an interest in, as the name implies, tourism in Niagara as a research subject. So there are people from the tourism side of our department who are involved in this as well. And then we've been fortunate so far to have people like Nick Baxter Moore from Popular Culture as part of our group, and also a number of people from Niagara College who study and teach in the tourism program there. So that's one initiative so far that's come of largely as a result of us, you know, getting to know the tourism folks better and now working so closely together. Beyond that, there's nothing in the works immediately, but we're only sort of 7 months in now to the merged department, so I'm sure we'll see new types of working relationships form and that sort of thing.
Has the department at Brock been involved with Niagara College a lot more recently because of the merger, or?
No, not yet. The past sort of collaboration we've had with the college actually had nothing to do with tourism. It was with our GIS program, where the students were able to do their 4-year degree in geography at Brock, and also concurrently with that, the 1-year certificate in geographic information systems. And so that was a long-standing articulation agreement between the department and Niagara College. We don't have that one in place anymore as of last year. However, again, I mean, we're always open to new possibilities.
Excellent. On a personal note, what are your personal research interests?
I myself kind of wear, I guess you could say, 3 hats. I'm primarily a rural geographer, I would say, if I had to pick one subdiscipline for myself. I also dabble occasionally in transportation geography, and also now, especially in recent years, after having moved to Niagara just over a decade ago, I've also become fascinated by the tourism history of Niagara, and so tourism geography is my 3rd hat now that I like to wear. So as far as rural geography is concerned, my roots, my pre-PhD days involved working in rural economic development. That frontline experience really sort of influenced my research interests after I became an academic. And so I'm very interested in rural community economic development and sort of the grassroots approaches to trying to revitalize rural communities and how communities, even the smallest of places with, you know, 500, 1,200 people, how they're fighting tooth and nail to keep their community viable as a place to live and to work. And I'm really interested in sort of the innovative and quite creative ways that rural communities band together to try and, you know, keep themselves going. So that's been the focus of a lot of my work over the past several years. Transportation-wise, I'm especially interested in, and I'm a huge proponent of public transit. I'm actually also, incidentally, a member of the St. Catharines Transit Commission. But my research interests have a lot to do these days in terms of public transit with the UPass program that's in place at Brock. It's in place at Niagara College, and it's in place at so many other schools. Just as an innovative way of encouraging young people to use public transit and to deal with traffic-related issues around university and college campuses and that sort of thing. And then tourism-wise, as the last of the three, my colleagues Jeff Boggs, Patrick Bruder, and I are currently working and have been for the past few years on a study of the evolution of tourism across rural Niagara and also within Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls, of course, is a long-established tourism destination, but it's now also becoming more common for rural communities and the smaller urban centers of Niagara to be engaging in tourism development activities as well. But it's not without its trials and tribulations, and it's tough for a lot of communities to really get their name out there when you're beside what we call this tourism behemoth that is Niagara Falls, right? It's this very world-famous, iconic attraction that, you know, was visited by 14 million people a year. So if you're a smaller community like Port Colborne or Waynefleet and you're trying to establish yourself as a tourism destination as well, it's kind of difficult to do that in the shadow of somewhere. When people think of Niagara, unfortunately, a lot of times they think Niagara region is Niagara Falls. And so we're interested at that sort of on the ground level in trying to help move the tourism agenda forward across the Niagara region.
Is it what's good for Niagara Falls is really good for everybody in the region?
That's part of what we're trying to understand is, you know, who are the people who are visiting Niagara Falls, and are they the same people that we can expect or want or even want to aim towards in promoting, say, the beaches of Lake Erie or the pumpkin farms of Thorold, right? What we're finding is that a lot of the people who come to Niagara Falls, especially the international tourists, they're coming to Canada and or the United States on quite a grand tour. And so their time is spent looking at all the sort of iconic places. It's a bucket list, and so they'll come to Niagara Falls to see the falls and do a little bit around, you know, Clifton Hill or the casino or what have you. But then it's off to Toronto, then it's off to Ottawa, Montreal, Quebec City. So they're not necessarily the group so far in our thinking that are maybe the ones we should be aiming at to get them to come to the sort of less traveled roads of Niagara. Maybe it's the domestic market we should be looking at primarily as the key sort of tourism segment to try and attract to Niagara. People who've already seen the falls and, you know, done it all, but are still close enough to come back again and again to see the other things that Niagara has to offer that they may not even realize exist.
So what kind of overall research is happening in the department these days?
There's quite the diverse range of people in the department with 18 of us now working together. As far as human geography is concerned, I mean, we've got a really strong emphasis on social and cultural and historical geography among the human geographers. A lot of people are quite interested in issues related to social equity and community development and international development, for example, in the case of someone like Professor David Butts. And then as far as physical geography is concerned, we've got people specializing in wetlands, in soils, in climate change research that takes them up to places like the Northwest Territories and the Yukon on a regular basis to do their work. And then even in tourism, I mean, we've got people studying tourism in the Niagara region, but we've got faculty colleagues who are studying tourism development in Japan. We have ecotourism expertise with David Fennell. Dave Brown is also a very active researcher in a number of environmental-related areas. So just this very broad array of researchers and professors in the department. So it's quite mind-blowing when you think of all of the different things that we're studying as a collective group.
What do you think are the greatest challenges that are facing the Niagara region?
Probably the biggest thing is just that Niagara is continuing along this, you know, 20 or 30 year history of economic restructuring, where it's really still trying to adjust to life after being a region that was best known as a manufacturing center. Fortunately, we still have a lot of manufacturing employment in the Niagara region, but it's nowhere near as much as it used to be. We've seen literally thousands and thousands of jobs leave Niagara over the past several decades to go to places like the United States, to Mexico, to China, and a lot of other places, just as part of this whole thing we call economic globalization. And so as Niagara tries to, you know, cope with this type of challenge, which is a huge one, and it's not uncommon across much of North America, it's been difficult to find something to replace all of those manufacturing jobs. Agriculture also has changed considerably in the region over the past few decades. A lot of the agricultural activity that used to transpire was to feed into food processing plants like the Cadbury Schweppes plant that closed in St. Catharines or the CanGrow Foods plant in St. David's. So once those plants closed, that really sort of had an impact on farmers who were producing for those particular buyers. So agriculture's faced changes, manufacturing has, and it seems like the one big thing that's really sort of just becoming all that much more important to the region is tourism. Like I said, Niagara Falls has always been known as a tourism destination. Niagara-on-the-Lake has a pretty long history now too, but in a lot of other communities, it's being seen as an increasingly viable industry. But it's not for everyone. Not everyone is trained or necessarily wanting to work in the tourism industry. So it's been seen as good news when we hear things like the GE plant being built in Welland as a sign that manufacturing is not dead in Niagara and that some firms are still looking to it as a nice, attractive place to do business. But that's probably the single biggest challenge is the economic. I think the other thing also is just dealing with changing demographics. Niagara is a place that's not experiencing a great deal of population growth. But at the same time, we're seeing an increasingly large component of seniors and retirees moving into the area with their own particular wants and needs as part of the demographics of the area. So, you know, the challenge of creating age-friendly communities and walkable places, and it's probably going to be another big thing for all of the different communities of Niagara to deal with as well.
So do you see the research that's happening in the department feeding into this almost like an economic rebirth of the Niagara region? Have you been approached by regional governments or the municipal governments to undertake or participate in the research?
A number of us have participated in different ways on community committees and organizations and that sort of thing. I can't speak to all of them myself. I'm not familiar with everyone's work, but I know that a number of people are active in the community, people like Avery Wustendag and also Jeff Boggs and myself, not only with the Transit Commission, but I was quite pleased to have been invited, for example, to serve on a task force about a year ago looking at the future potential roles for the regional government as it pertains to tourism planning in Niagara. That was initiated by the Economic Development Department. So I think wherever we can, we try to sort of become involved in the community, either as researchers or as citizens who have some expertise we can add to the mix. Professor Michael Ripmeester, for example, has done a lot of research about the revitalization of downtown St. Catharines and all of the sort of planning that's gone into the creation of the Arts Center and the Meridian Center and such. And as a lot of people may know, he delivered a policy brief that was quite well publicized and took part in a panel discussion with Mayor Senzik and with other sort of prominent community members to talk about sort of the future development of downtown St. Catharines and what it means for the city and that sort of thing. I think, you know, geography is very much a discipline that's interested in making places better. And I think a number of us in the department feel that way about Niagara and try our best to make our research not only relevant to the other academic people in the department or academic community and journal articles and such, but also to the community we live in too.
So we're hoping the Geo Niagara Radio Show can be utilized within the education system by teachers in the district school board or school boards around the world for that matter. What could you tell someone about the discipline of geography that would absolutely blow their minds?
Good question. People have a lot of misconceptions about geography, right? I mean, basically, if you talk to sort of the average layperson and you say you study geography, unfortunately, the common reaction is, oh, you're either studying maps or you're memorizing places like capital cities and such. And I don't think people realize what a diverse discipline. You know, geography is literally the study of the earth, but when you take it further and you think about physical geography or human geography, there's really not much happening in our day-to-day lives that isn't geographical in some way and that would be of interest to a human geographer, be it the mode of travel you use to get to work, the place you work, what your neighborhood looks like, how much poverty there is in your community, or even things like the weather patterns that influence your travel or your vacation plans or what have you. All of this is geographical, and so I think the one big thing is that geography, and I say this often to my students, geography is everywhere, right? And it's just such a diverse discipline that I find students who take the courses for the first time come in oftentimes with that misconception of what geography is going to be. And then at the end of the course, they say, wow, I had no idea that this was all geography, that this is what that discipline is all about. I guess just the diversity.
More than a few students that have been going through the department that actually started off in one discipline and based upon the first human geography course or the physical geography course completely switched their major to geography. I think that really speaks to the power of sort of the aha moments of when you're going through the courses.
I mean, one of the problems we have is that geography is only a compulsory subject in high school in grade 9. And after that, students aren't required to take it. And in often cases, even if they want to, it may not even be offered, depending on the size of the school. But you're certainly right. So a lot of students will take, for example, our introduction to physical geography course or introduction to human geography course as an elective in their first year or later down the road, but usually in their first year. And that's exactly right. They take this course and they're like, eyes are open to what exactly geography is. And in fact, we did a survey back in 2013 of past students. We looked at the statistics, and it turned out that two-thirds of the students who graduated with a degree in geography between 2008 and 2013 did not come to Brock as geography majors. They're the people you're talking about who switched into it after the fact, once they learned more about what the discipline actually entails beyond the stereotypes, and fell in love with it, and next thing you know, decided to change their major to geography.
So getting back to the issue of geography not being offered, at least in Ontario's curriculum, from what I understand, beyond grade 9, for the most part, has the department gone into the community, into the local school boards to promote the discipline?
Yes, we have, actually. One point, though, I guess, do often see some geography in schools beyond grade 9, but it's not labeled geography, so people don't associate it with the discipline that is geography in a university. So, for example, in grade 11, there's a travel and tourism course that a lot of students might be able to take if it's offered at their school. And then we have the grade 12 world issues course, which is essentially a geography course, but just not called that. So I think that's one of the problems, is that even where geographical courses are offered in high schools, it's not called geography. And so when you're in grade 12 applying for university, you don't equate them as being the same thing. But as far as trying to make inroads in the high schools and so on, a couple of months ago in November, I was invited by some support staff at the District School Board of Niagara to come in to a meeting that was being held of all the geography department heads from the different high schools across the region to talk a little bit about our program and also to try and build some bridges between the university and the high schools. And I was very well received by the teachers in attendance, and basically, the sort of agreement coming out of that meeting was that the teachers would contact me over the course of the next several months to either arrange for their students to come to Brock for a day or for a part of a day to visit the department and sit in on a university geography class, or alternately to arrange with either myself or with some of my colleagues to have us come in to their school to serve as a guest lecturer, talk about a particular geographical subject or something of that nature. So I know that Jonathan Fletcher, who's a teacher at Port Colborne High School, has made some working arrangements with Kevin Turner, one of our faculty members. That's the first of those types of arrangements. But over the next few months, we're hoping to start making those relationships stronger as well.
Well, thanks, Chris, for coming in to talk with us on the Geo Niagara Radio Show. If anybody wants some more information about the geography department at Brock, can you provide us some information about how they could do that?
Pretty extensive web presence. If you just Google Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University, the first hit really should be our homepage, at which point you can then click on everything from each individual faculty member's profile page, which will tell you a lot more about the research they do, the types of courses they teach, some of the publications they've written, all the way through to information about our programs in physical geography, human geography, and tourism. And something else that people might be interested in is reading a bit more about our field courses, where we take students to places like London, England, Chicago, and as far away as Thailand as part of the field course offerings in the department. So those might be of interest to people to look at too. We also have a Twitter feed, and it's at BrockUGeogTour as our Twitter handle. And we keep that updated with lots of tweets every day.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. Much appreciated. Hopefully we can get some more faculty out from the department and to talk with us about their research and their passions about geography.
Thanks again for having me. It was fun.
Thinking of pursuing a career in the field of geography or tourism? The Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University offers 3 and 4 year bachelor's degrees and a geography graduate program, each with several study options. At Brock University, you'll get an excellent education with hands-on experience through internships, study abroad programs, co-op, labs, seminars, and more. Explore the world through your studies. come to Brock and experience the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies today. Check us out at brocku.ca/geotour.
You're listening to CFBU 103.7.
We'd like to thank Chris Fullerton for joining us today from the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies. He was an excellent first guest on the Geo Niagara Radio Show.
If you're geographically inclined and you're interested in anything geography and environmental science, there are some events that are upcoming in the next few weeks. The first one is National Geographic Day, which is Friday, January the 27th.
And then there is World Wetlands Day, Thursday, February 2nd, and Weatherman's Day on Sunday, February 5th.
So be sure to hug a weatherman.
Yeah, just find your local weatherman somewhere.
And just give them a hug.
Just a big hug from all of us at Geo Niagara.
And again, if you want to get in contact with us at the show, our Twitter handle is at Geo Niagara. That's GEONIAGARA. And with that, you could submit your questions to Ask a Geographer, which is a segment that we're hoping to start in time for our next show. Submit your geographical questions, and hopefully we can get some faculty up at Brock University in the department answer them for you.
Our next episode will air at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, February 15th, right here on CFBU 103.7 FM. We'd like to thank everybody for joining us.
See you next time.
You have been listening to the Geo Niagara Radio Show, sponsored by the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University.